We're going to pick up Psalm 119 now for the next number of weeks. It's a long psalm, and this is our third stint at looking at it, but it is a fantastic psalm. If you've missed out on the previous talks, you can find them on our church website and go and catch up. But we're going to pick it up at Psalm 119, verse 105. You'll see there the title is Nun. Each of those little titles is the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this psalm is written, if you understand English, in an acrostic sort of way. The first letter of each line is written in the specific letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if we are looking at Nun today, all in the original language, all the first lines, basically all the verses in that section will begin with the letter N. So it's fantastic poetry, but it's also got an amazing amount of truth that we can learn from it. So as we open God's Word this morning, let's pray. Lord, we do just pray that as we come to hear from you this morning, that you would help us to listen, that you would engage with us, that you would challenge us, but encourage us as well. And we ask this in your name. Amen. It's the start of another year. Schools have started. Most things are back to normal. And it's a time of the year where we often enter into, at the beginning of the year, with a renewed determination to achieve things. This year I'm going to be positive, we might say to ourselves. This year I'm going to do better at school. This year I'm going to achieve something at work. And we have this amazing determination at the start of the year. We wish one another a happy new year, a blessed new year. Why? Well, because we are hoping that this year will be better than the last. We are hoping that things will work out well for us. But how many of us in our new year determination, in the willpower that we have at the beginning of the year, in the purpose that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year, how many of us include in that a spiritual determination to grow in the ways of the Lord, to understand the Lord more than we did last year, to follow Him better than we did in the previous year? And I think that the psalmist here, in this section in Psalm 119, from verse 105, as he reflects on the importance of the Bible, as he rejoices in it, he realizes that he needs a godly determination in following the Bible. You'll just notice here, in these eight verses that we've got here from Psalm 119, verse 105, he speaks of God's Word in many different ways. He speaks of the Word of the Lord. You'll notice here, just cast your eye through this passage here. Notice also words like laws, God's precepts, His statutes, His decrees. Those are all words that mean pretty much the same thing, God's Word, the Bible. And so when the psalmist uses these words, help me to obey your righteous laws, he's really saying, Lord, help me to listen to you and to follow your ways. He says the same about precepts, about statutes, about decrees. And so when you read those words here in Psalm 119, think God's Word. And as the psalmist continues to speak here through the psalm, we notice this godly determination. Just three comments that I want to make on the psalm this morning. The first one is a pledge to follow God. Have a look at verse 106. I'll come back to verse 105 in a moment, but look at verses 106. Look what the psalmist says. I have taken an oath and confirmed it. In other words, what the psalmist has done is he has made a promise. An oath is a kind of a promise. And confirming it is really saying that people know that I have made this promise. In other words, what the psalmist has done is he has made a deliberate and public decision to follow the ways of God. The psalmist makes this oath. Now, if you understand the word oath, generally when someone makes an oath, it has consequences both positive and negative. Just take note of the court of law, for example. If you're a witness and you're called to stand and give testimony of something, you have to swear on the Bible, you have to make an oath that what you are saying is true. And of course, there are consequences to that oath, that promise that you make, that if you are not telling the truth, then the court can hold you in contempt of court and they will charge you for perjury. In other words, for not telling the truth. And here we find the psalmist making the same sort of commitment. A promise, an oath, and he is doing this publicly in confirming it. In other words, he's asking people to hold him accountable to his promise. Part of the whole wedding ceremony in a marriage, part of the marriage ceremony includes witnesses. Why witnesses? Well, it's because the couple are making a promise to one another that they will love and serve one another, and they are calling the witnesses to bear witness to their promise so that they can hold them accountable. Here we have the same thing. The psalmist says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it. So what oath has he taken? What is he confirming before the people? Well, carry on reading in verse 106. I have taken an oath and confirmed it to follow, what does he say there? That I will follow your righteous laws. So what's the psalmist saying here? I've made a promise to God, you are all witnesses of it, that I want to follow God. I want to do what God says. And he's basically saying, and hold me accountable to that, so that I will not drift from the ways of God. Perhaps some of you own a business or run your own business or owned a business at some point. And you will know that no business can grow just by randomly going on and doing it. The way that a business grows is by deliberate plans. By saying, I'm going to do this, and deliberately going about and doing it. And likewise, friends, in our Christian life, if we cannot just drift into devotion with God, we have to make a deliberate choice to follow the Lord. If you just think, I'm going to be fine, I'll read the Bible when I can, you're not going to drift into devotion with the Lord. It's like a boat drifting at sea, without direction, without the dedication of the pilot on the boat, of the skipper, that boat will not go anywhere. And friends, here's what the psalmist is saying. I have taken an oath. In other words, this is a deliberate decision I have made that I will follow the ways of God. Perhaps as you sit here this morning, you might be thinking to yourself, well, really, I'm not a born-again Christian. And you're thinking that as long as I come to church periodically, then I will have at least ticked my religious box and God will be happy with me. Friends, that's completely the opposite of what the psalmist is saying here, who is deliberately making a choice to follow God. But perhaps you're also sitting here this morning and saying, yeah, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I know it all. I'm fine. But friends, it is thought that David wrote this psalm. David was a great Christian man. And yet we find him here making a deliberate choice to follow the Lord. You see, friends, unless you and I make a conscious and deliberate decision to live for Christ, coming to church is going to do nothing for us. You see, unless we make a conscious decision to follow the Lord Jesus, there's a good chance that whether I've been a Christian for many years or not, I will drift off the ways of the Lord. The psalmist makes a determined choice. It's the beginning of the year for us. Friends, can I urge you that all of us make a deliberate choice to follow the ways of the Lord. Now, why does the psalmist make this deliberate choice? Go back with me to verse 105, where the psalmist seems to understand why it is important that he deliberately follows the Lord. And he says here in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now, a lot of popular Christianity use this verse to speak of the fact that God guides us and leads us in this world. And yes, that is true. But there's another side to this lamp for my feet and a light for my path that perhaps is not so common that we don't always think about. And that is that God is giving us light so that we might stay on the Christian path. Let me explain that for a moment. You see, the Bible regularly refers to this world as a place of darkness, filled with sin, filled with all the atrocities that we have come to know so well. And the Bible speaks of this world as dark and people being dark in sin. So how can we then walk the Christian way if we have no light showing the way of Christ for us? How can we walk through a dark world, hoping for the best, if we don't have the light of God with us? Remember the load shedding that we had, it was a couple of years ago now. But remember the load shedding. And when the lights went off, we often had apps on our phones and everything to warn us when those lights were going to go off. We'd get ready for the darkness that was going to come. And so our gas light was standing in the lounge, matches right next to it, so that when the power went off, we could strike a match and we could have light. Perhaps you had a generator, but you always had to ensure that when you started your generator, there was enough fuel in that generator to run it. And friends, it's the same with God's righteous laws. We need to know what they are so that we can walk in this world that is dark. And so the light that is given, that's mentioned about here, the lamp for my feet, the light for my path, is really about a light that keeps us following Christ. Just like batteries in a torch need to be replaced regularly, just like gas in a gas cylinder needs to be replaced, or fuel in the generator needs to be topped up, so we need to be tending the light of God, of God's Word in our life. You see, without the light of God's Word, what prevention do you and I have as we walk through this dark world? What is going to keep us following on the road of Christ? And that's why the psalmist makes a deliberate and public choice to uphold the Word of God in his life. See, friends, this doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just happen by chance. It doesn't happen by sporadic reading of the Bible or by sporadically coming to listen to God's Word spoken. We are to tend this lamp all the time so that we can constantly and deliberately be walking in the way God wants us to. Friends, don't leave here today without making that deliberate choice to walk in the ways of the Lord. My second comment this morning, and that is not only speaking here about following the Lord, about obeying God, about making this pledge to follow God, but it's also about walking this rocky road that we have in front of us. So the psalmist is determined to keep the lamp of God lit in his life. But he also realizes that life is not plain sailing. Look at verse 107. Look what he says. I have suffered much. Look at verse 109. Though I constantly take my life in my hands. Verse 110. The wicked have set a snare for me. See, what's the psalmist actually saying? Well, the psalmist is realizing that life is filled with difficulties. Personal difficulties that he might be facing. Perhaps he's got some relational difficulties in his life. Perhaps he's struggling with other things. Maybe finance. Maybe with health. But notice he also says that there are non-Christians out there who are trying to entrap him. You see, there's a lot going on here. He understands that things don't always go right. So in this area, over the past few weeks, we've had, not us as self, but I know some of you in this church have, we've had break-ins. Things being stolen. This is what the psalmist is saying. I have suffered much. I constantly take my life in my own hands. And the wicked have set a snare for me. That's the walk that we have. It's in a sense, if you like, and just to bring it into an illustration that you and I understand, it's as if the road that we are walking on is filled with potholes. No one is fixing them. In fact, they are getting bigger and bigger. You try driving your car down the streets at night without your light on. Okay, apart from the fact that it's unsafe to do so, chances are you will drive into a big pothole and you will damage your vehicle. That is like the road that we are walking on in this life. It is a road filled with potholes, branches lying across it, and everything else. Friends, if we don't have the light of God's Word in our life, how are we going to see those things that trip us up? When the lights did go off in load shedding, or when the power goes out for whatever reason and it's night time and I need to get from one side of the house to the other, I can actually do so pretty well. I know where the furniture is. I don't really need a light to walk around my house. And I remember as a kid, I would actually do that just for fun. I'd count how many steps it was down the passage and knew that there was a door on my left after so many steps and so on. And I could walk pretty well around the house in total darkness. But, as you well know, furniture does tend to move a little bit in the house. And sometimes there's a table where there shouldn't be a table, a side table that has been moved, a stool that someone's used to climb into a cupboard that wasn't there earlier. And friends, it's like the same with us in our Christian life. We might know the story of the Christian life. We might know what God wants of us. But with the the wickedness and the darkness of the world, things move. And we need to be aware of where they are. So the psalmist says, as he faces this world that is topsy-turvy, he says in verses 107, "Preserve my life, O Lord." Verse 108, "Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws." Verse 109, "I will not forget your Lord." Again, there's the deliberateness of this. And verse 110, "I have not strayed from your precepts." You see, friends, we constantly need God's help in our lives because the world pulls us from all angles. I regularly come across people who refer to Christianity as a crutch. You've perhaps heard people like that. Maybe you think like that as well, and you're only in church this morning because things aren't going very well and you need to pick me up. I know many people who only come to church when everything is going well in their lives. But you see, friends, the psalmist says, whether it's going well, whether it's going bad, I must make a deliberate decision to follow God. Back to the road analogy, people who say Christianity is a crutch, it's when they hit the pothole that they suddenly come crying to the church. Their lamp had gone out long ago. Now they needed to be relit so they can see a few more potholes. Others say, well, I'm in a pothole at the moment. As soon as I've got my car out, I'll come along. But you see what's going to happen when you're in that pothole. Your light's going to go out and you're not going to see the next one. You see, friends, life is difficult. And so it is important that we make a deliberate choice to follow the Lord. Perhaps you recall the parable of those 10 virgins, Matthew 25, if you want to go and read the account of that. Jesus was speaking about them, and remember there were the 10 virgins who were going off to fetch the bridegroom, and 5 were wise and brought spare oil for their lamps, and 5 were foolish and didn't. And perhaps you remember the story there that the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all fell asleep, and eventually at midnight, someone said, "The bridegroom is here," and they all woke up. But all their lamps had gone out, so the 5 wise virgins topped up their lamps with their oil that they'd brought, lit their lamps, and went off. The 5 foolish virgins had to run off and try and find someone to wake up in the middle of the night to sell them oil, and they missed out. Now, although Jesus is speaking here about the fact that we need to be ready for the return of Christ, we also understand that any light doesn't last forever. Even light bulbs, even these effervescent light bulbs that we put in, don't last forever. We need to change them. And so, we need to regularly be filling our lamp with the Word of God. One last comment. And that is to the very end. You see, the psalmist makes a pledge to follow God on the rocky road of life right up to the very end. Why would the psalmist go through all this struggle? Isn't it easier just to go with the flow of the world? Isn't it easier just to give in, to forget about the light, throw in the towel, and go with what everybody else does? Why should we strive to keep our lamps lit, to follow the righteous laws of God? Why should we do that? Well, look at verse 111. "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." You see the key to this psalm and why the psalmist wants to ensure that he stays on the path is because he has an amazing heritage.
The word heritage here can also mean inheritance.
So not only is it part of the way that he does things, but it's also what he's looking forward to.
Now in the Old Testament, and specifically with the promises of Abraham, the inheritance to Abraham, or Abraham was promised an inheritance, was that God's people, the Israelites, would live in God's land, at that point Israel, under the rulership of God. And here we see the psalmist saying, my heritage or my inheritance is forever. The psalmist understands that he has a plot of land reserved for him in the very presence of God. And this is forever, and he's not willing to lose it. And so we can see why he is filled with joy, why he offers his praise to God. Where was that? In verse 107 or 8. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth. Verse 111, he says, your statutes are the joy of my heart. You see, friends, if we fail to keep the lamp of God's word lit, if we fail to deliberately seek out and follow the ways of God, we will lose out on that inheritance, on that heritage. And so that's why it's important to make a deliberate effort to come to church, to come to Bible studies, to spend time in your own privateness of your own house regularly with the Lord, reading the Bible. And perhaps, friends, we need to deliberately make that choice, to deliberately set aside time. If you have to, write it in your diary, put it on your phone, set a reminder for yourself, and be determined, deliberate effort to make time for God. Plan to have your lamps recharged. Plan to come and join us at various church meetings. Plan to spend time with God, so that we might learn God's righteous laws, so that we might uphold them, and so that we might get the inheritance that has been promised to us. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that you have revealed to us this morning, Lord, and shown us, Lord, how important it is that we keep you at the center of everything that we do. Help us, Lord, to honor you. Help us, Lord, to make a deliberate attempt, a deliberate decision to follow you at the beginning of this year, as we are determined to make a change. Help us to make a change with our walk with you. Help us, Lord, that we would all take an oath and confirm it, that we will follow your righteous commands. Yes, Lord, we know that this is a difficult world to live in and that we suffer much. But Lord, preserve our lives. Help us not to forget your law, so that in the end, we will keep your decrees, and that we will receive the heritage that you have promised to us. We ask this in your name. Amen.